Well, hello, this is Jeff Gattiosi, and you're on MisplacedStraws.com, where music comes to life. My guest today has been one of my favorite singers and songwriters of the past 30 years. I first discovered him with his band, The Almighty, back in the 90s, and since then he's had a prolific solo career, fronted a revamped version of Thin Lizzy, and of course, Black Star Riders. He's getting ready to release a new solo record called When Life Was Hard and Fast. Please welcome Ricky Warwick. Ricky, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And it's been a while since you've put out an electric, original rock and roll solo record. In that time, Black Star Riders have put out a few records. But why was now the right time for When Life Was Hard and Fast?
Because Black Star Riders are off the road.
You had a minute.
In between... you know, Black Star Riders and obviously doing a few Thin Lizzy shows. It just hasn't been the time. I mean, this year, Black Star Riders, we were supposed to be out the whole year touring another State of Grace that came out at the tail end of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, with this current situation, that just got decimated. But the plan was always to release the record February of 2021 and spend next year promoting it. That was set in stone before the pandemic was even coming around the corner. So nothing's really changed in regards to the timeline. It's just a question of having the time to get into the studio, you know, being on the road as much as I am, and coming home and having a family. Sometimes you've got to prioritize things. You don't want to come off a 2 or 3 month tour and go, hey, I'm disappearing in the studio for the next month. So just balancing everything, you know, working out, you know, we like to plan things ahead with our management. Everybody in Black Star Riders is involved, has other bands that they do outside of Black Star Riders. So there's a lot of planning involved. And that's just the way it worked out. We just decided we'd record the album in 2019. We'd sit on it for a while until the time was right that I could promote it properly, which is this year. And then it turned out being this year because of the way things happened, but next year for sure.
And you have a killer band with you on the record.
Thank you.
Robbie Crane, your bandmate, yeah. Black Star Riders on bass,
yeah.
And ex-Buck Cherry guys, Keith Nelson and Xavier Muriel. Keith wrote most of the record. How did you guys hook up?
You know, it's an interesting story. I didn't know Keith until about 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I knew who he was. I was obviously aware of Buck Cherry and you know, heard the name. But we just, in circles, we just never met. And when Damon Johnson left Black Star Riders, we obviously had a void to fill the guitar player position, and somebody suggested Keith, and I thought that would be great. You know, I thought he'd be a good fit, and I met up with Keith. Keith sort of met me out of courtesy. He had no intention of joining Black Star Riders because he had decided that he was done with the full-on touring thing, which is one of the reasons he left Buck Cherry. So he just said, like, he said, I'm meeting you out of respect because I like your band and I like what you do. I'm very honored that you're asking me to join the band, but I'm kind of done with the going on the road for seven months out of the year, which I totally respect. We get on great. You know, we had a coffee. We get on great. We talked. He said, look, I have a studio. I'm writing. I'm producing. Let's get together and write a song. I said, sounds great. A couple of days later, I go over to the studio. We hit it off. He's got an insane collection of vintage guitars, which drew me in straight away.
Nice.
And,
yeah.
You know, we just, the chemistry was there. We're both, you know, blue-collar working class boys at the same age, same taste in music. And we wrote the song Fighting Heart that day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I brought the idea in, and Keith and I worked on it. And I thought, hang on a minute, there's something here. And I took the demo of the song home, and I was listening to it, and I thought, you know, this is cool. There's a chemistry. There's a vibe going on here. And I had all these ideas together for the solo record. I phoned Keith up that night and said, look, that was great today. I've got enough material to make a solo record. Will you produce and work on it with me? And he was like, let's do it. And that's how it started. And, you know, we've become sort of firm friends ever since. And, you know, we're already working on the next record together.
Nice. And aside from that great band, you also have a ton of guests on the record with you, from Joe Elliott to Dizzy Reed to Luke Morley. The one that really caught my eye, though, because in my opinion, he's one of the most underrated guitarists ever, is Andy Taylor, formerly Duran Duran.
I can tell.
He doesn't do a whole lot of work these days either, it seems. How were you able to get him on I'd Rather Be Hit?
That's a misconception. Andy Taylor is a very, very busy man under the radar. I agree with everything you said. Andy's very underrated, phenomenal, great guitar, great singer, great writer, and great producer. just an insanely talented guy. I got to know Andy. Andy produced the second Almighty album, Soul Destruction, way back in 1991. And, you know, we've been friends ever since. And, you know, Andy's always had an eye on the success of Black Star Riders and was always sort of texting me when singles were coming out and the albums were doing well. And I got a phone call one day about 3 years ago. And he said, look, I'm working on a new solo record. And he lives in Ibiza. And so he flew me out to Ibiza, and I co-wrote most of Andy's next solo record with him, which is coming out next year.
So fantastic.
Which is amazing. I mean, I'm not sort of saying because I'm involved, but it's just, it's phenomenal. And he's already got a track out there called Love or Liberation, which you want to check out. It's up on, you know, Spotify and iTunes and all that I co-wrote with him. So I said, you got to return the favor. Will you play guitar on one of the tracks on my record? And he was like, absolutely. And, you know, of course, he delivers a killer solo, and yeah, but it's just an honor to have him on there. The great thing about all this is, you know, when you do a solo record, the whole narcissism factor comes into play, that you're not standing on anybody's toes when you go, you know, I want so-and-so to come in and play, you know, guitar on this. You're not going to put anybody's nose out of joint, you know,
right,
because it's you, it's your record. So you can have fun with it. You could, you know, I'm blessed to be able to know some extremely talented, amazing people who I'm fans of, and they just happen to be my friends. So, you know, it's a no-brainer for me to pick the phone and go, hey, wouldn't it be great if Joe Elliott could sing on this? You know, and these guys are only too happy to do so.
That's
which
awesome.
Is great. I'm honored. You know, I'm really honored.
But of everyone you have on the record, though, I would venture a guess to say that the most special guest on it is your daughter, Pepper, who sings with you on Time Don't Seem to Matter. As a dad, I mean, what's that moment like with her in the studio with you?
And the most difficult one to get to do it out of all the rock stars, she was the one with most demands. You know, how long will it take? Are we going to Starbucks afterwards? You know,
Joe Elliott was nothing compared to her.
No, everybody was a walk in the park compared to her. You know, it was amazing. She was 11 when she did that. She's 13 now, and She just loves music, you know. She's a great little singer. She plays a few instruments. This song is predominantly about being away from her and all that kind of thing. And I just thought, you know, I've got to have you on there. And she came in and she did it, and she nailed it in one take. And now she's thoroughly embarrassed about the whole thing and doesn't want anybody to hear it. You know, she's 13 and rebelling, and dad's embarrassing. And I, which is great. That's the way they should be, you know. But I'm like, I'm sort of doing some online stuff. I said, hey, why didn't you come on and, you know, grab a ukulele and let's sing and play that song and sing with me? She said, no. but you know, a huge honor for me and a very, very personal. But, you know, she'll come around in a couple of years. And
definitely.
She'll realize, you know, how cool it was that she could sing on a record.
And you mentioned how, you know, that song was done a couple of years ago. Apart from Gunslinger, which covered the great Willie DeVille song, which I was happy to see on there.
Oh, thank you too. Thank you.
Now, all these are originals. I mean, were these songs that you worked on in bits and pieces over the years, or stuff that you and Keith did from the start?
You know, I really kind of have a process, and it's the same with Black Star Riders, and it was the same with Keith. I'm always writing. Writing constantly. So I'm blessed in a way that I always have a wealth of material. And what I tend to do when I know that I'm going to work with somebody, I'll take a song so far because I want their input. And so with me, with Black Star Riders, and even with Keith, I would come in with, you know, a finished verse and a finished chorus and probably a finished lyric. And then Keith and I would sit down and work. He'd help work out all the guitar parts, the arrangement. He'd go, you need a better bridge. He'd maybe come up with the chord structure for a better bridge. But I'm coming in with the main ideas. It's not like we're both going into a room and looking at each other going, what you got? What you got? You know, it's like, for me, I've been in that situation. I've done the natural thing where you walk in with a stranger and you stare at each other for an hour and nothing comes out of it. So I kind of learned my lesson that, you know, bring in something, even if it's finished, you think it's finished. Bring it in and play it, and then you get that person vibed up in the whole thing. And that's how I work with Black Star Riders too. But with Keith, it was the same thing. I'd bring in, you know, a half-finished idea. This is what I got. And Keith would just start, you know, sprinkling his magic on it and saying, you know, I think you need to change the chords here, or, you know, and we'd start discussing it. And then together we'd mold it into the finished song.
And one thing I think that's always impressed me about your career is kind of the diversity, and not just between projects, but sometimes even between songs on each record. Mm-hmm. It's almost as though you're just as comfortable, whether it's just you and an acoustic guitar, as you are when it's, you know, just balls out rock and roll, or even some of kind of the more orchestrated stuff like, you know, Bandaged Knees from the Almighty
sure.
days.
Sure.
Do you have a comfort zone in all of those different areas, or is there one that you're specifically drawn to?
You know, I think that's a great question. It's changed over the years. I love them all. I love all the various guises that I have. You know, if you'd asked me in 1999, would I be comfortable getting on stage playing acoustic guitar, I would have told you that's never going to happen in a million years, you know, the solo thing. But, you know, having been in Dublin and being in a situation where I'm hitting 30 and I'm going through a rough patch in my life, and suddenly there's no record deal, no management, no publishing deal, no nothing, no band. And suddenly you're faced with, what do I do? Where do I go? And, you know, Joe Elliott has a part to play in that. He's like, he pushed me in the, he said, like, you know, you can really do this. You tell great stories. You can do this singer-songwriter thing because you have an edge, you know. And he talked me into doing it. And that was sort of way back in 2002. And that was the best thing that ever happened to me, because suddenly I start now, I write everything on the acoustic guitar. I don't go near electric. It made me a better guitar player. It made me a better songwriter, and it made me a better singer, because you have to be when you're that naked, when you don't have the support of the other guys around you or the wall of marshals to sort of hide behind. Suddenly you're out there on your own, so your shit better be together. You know what I mean? And that was a real revelation for me, and really changed my life for the better. And I think since then it's made me comfortable in every aspect of what I do, because if you're comfortable, like I said, playing an acoustic guitar and singing a song in its basic form, when you go and do anything else, that's only going to enhance it and make you feel more confident in the other areas of what you're trying to do. So, yeah.
And you're someone who's always playing live somewhere. And during the pandemic, you've done quite a bit of online stuff with live streaming and things like that. Does that scratch the itch at all when it comes to missing playing live?
It absolutely helps. I don't think it fully cures the itch, but it certainly stops it for a little while. You know, the platform that I use to do my own stream, my live online shows, is a platform called Stageit, and it's very much set up like a live gig. You sell tickets, you buy tickets, you sell merchandise, all that kind of stuff. So it feels like you're promoting a real show. So I would rehearse and prepare for it like I'm going to go on tour. You know, I've done a different subject every. I've been doing sort of one a month, and 1 month it'll be Black Star Riders, 1 month it'll be Almighty, solo stuff, cover versions. So I'm always changing it up. So I'm always, you know, having to go and relearn songs or learn songs for it and rehearse for it. And I think that gives me a focus like it would do if I was practicing to go on the road. So it's definitely good for my sanity. And people seem to enjoy it, which is the main thing. That's what it's all about, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I've caught a few of them, and they're fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
So.
Thank you.
And again, this record, When Life Was Hard and Fast, it's such a strong record. Do you foresee this relationship with Keith kind of something you'll be able to go back to in between Black Star Rider cycles?
Absolutely. We're already working on the next record together. We're already demoing the next record. So yeah, that's definitely something that I think is built up now and it's solidified. And I think it's I don't see any reason to change for the next record. I'm so happy with how this turned out and how it sounds sonically. And you know, we had a lot of fun making it. So why screw with it? So we'll definitely make the next record together. That's already a given. But yeah, you know, it's great. I have somebody I can really trust now, and I think we create good music together, and yeah, so I'm all about keeping that relationship going.
And I actually talked to Scott last year when Another State of Grace came out, and he was really excited about it and just about all the promotion around it, and then naturally it all comes to a screeching halt.
Yeah.
Do you think that you guys will get another record done before, you know, the world opens up again, or is it just sort of a pause and you'll pick up Another State of Grace when you could get back on the road?
I think Another State of Grace, sadly, is touring wise is done. We were able to get a 7-week run in Europe at the tail end of last year, mm-hmm. before COVID kicked in. Obviously, all this year was supposed to be some U.S. shows, South America, the rest of the world, blah, blah, blah. The next Black Star Riders record is written. It's demoed. It's done. So we're ready to go. We were hoping to get in this fall here in L.A. to record, but obviously, we just everybody living where they live, and Scott being in the U.K., it just wasn't safe, and it didn't make sense to do it. We couldn't do it anyway. So we're sitting waiting on it. Like I said, I had always planned to promote the solo record next year, and that's what I'm going to do. Christian Martucci's obviously busy with Corey Taylor's solo stuff right now, being in Corey's band. So the album's there. We're on a bit of a hiatus. We'll get in and record it next year, and I'd like to think that, early 2022, which seems an awfully long way away, but after this year, nothing seems that far away. I think that's when we'll hit the ground again with Black Star Riders. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And again, we've been spending some time here with Ricky Warwick. The record is When Life Was Hard and Fast. It's out January 29th. Fantastic record. I've been listening to it pretty constantly since I was able to get a copy of it. Ricky, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Best of luck with the new record.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll catch you on the road, either doing some solo shows or once Black Star Riders gets back up and running.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ricky.
Take care, man.
Talk to you soon. Yep.
Bye-bye. Bye.